Welcome back. It's An Invisible Sun, Episode 7. Hi, my fellow aliens, ghosts, and robots. It's Keith, and I'm happy to have you here. So last week, I encouraged you to support indie audio drama producers, and I wanted to give you some resources this week to help you do just that. There's a lot of indie content out there, a lot more, I think, than some people realize. So finding it and supporting it can be a challenge. But there are several sites which are available to help you do just that. And I want to run down a few that have been particularly helpful to me. The first I want to mention is theend.fyi. That's theend.fyi. This is a website and a newsletter run by Evo Terra, who catalogs audio dramas that have reached an end point, whether that's a whole show or a season. This is especially good for those of you who like to binge, listen to an entire show, or don't want to get involved unless you know it's got an ending. Evo also makes recommendations based on his own tastes, and it's an excellent resource, and I encourage you to check it out. Another one you might want to look into is The Cambridge Geek, aka Rob, who maintains an index of new fiction podcasts that's updated weekly, and you can find that at audiofiction.co.uk. Rob has an unenviable job of trying to keep track of all the new indie audio dramas that come out. You'd be surprised. It's like a dozen every week. So do check it out. Similarly, Hitch42 is the moderator of the R Audio Drama subreddit on Reddit, which has a very active community of creators and listeners. Hitch also has a website, audiodrama.directory, which has the goal of becoming a comprehensive listing of websites for audio drama enthusiasts. So check out that directory or swing by the subreddit, and I think you'll find a lot of interesting things to look at and shows to support. All right, let's get into this week's episode. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 7.
Coming up next, SMSS refuses to meet with the leaders of the Jovian Trojan miners, setting the stage for a strike. And the Gateway Security Act is defeated.
It was 2 days later. I hadn't left the apartment since I'd sent the message. I don't normally mind cocooning myself at home, away from the people, the pollution, and the sun. But there was no comfort in the solitude and security anymore. I was restless and jumpy. I spent the time half listening to the news and pacing about. Not that there's much room for pacing. It felt especially hot in my apartment, too, though whether that was the climate control or a low-grade fever, I couldn't be sure. But my mind seized on every pain, every disorder as a possible symptom, and ran down labyrinthine rabbit holes for hours. I felt trapped in my tiny home. But the world outside felt hostile and even more confusing with all that's happened and all that I had learned. Bottled water is one of the few luxuries I permit myself, kept very cold in the little fridge in my kitchen. Drinking a bottle of it became one of the few ways I could get through the interminable hours, savoring the chill spreading through my chest as it went down. I went through most of my stock in those 2 days. The times I wasn't mentally picking at my obsessions like itchy scabs, I tried to do more research on the plague, on Ken Zinn, on this group, the Invisible Sun and Sister Lucy and the Tattooed Man. But I'd come to a dead end, which felt odd. I didn't expect to find much, but I was finding too little. I had the news on. The anchor was surrounded by flashing graphics and crawling feeds.
Experts blame rising toxicity levels in the Ganges Delta,
she said in a smooth voice that suggests, but does not embrace, concern.
This is the fourth major nutritive algae crop lost in Bangladesh this year.
Leaning against the window, I could just make out the people on the ground below. But even so, it all remained an undifferentiated mess of traffic. I ran my finger over the tiny line on my forearm where I had bled. The wound was gone, but in truth, my skin seemed a lot more fragile now, thin and translucent and weak. The gunshot was just a scar, at least on the outside. Yes, the foolish reassurances and affirmations remained. You're just anemic, or sleep-deprived, or malnourished. You're not going to end up like Ken Zinn, or that man in the hole. This was all temporary. In my most optimistic moments, I could almost convince myself of these things. But this was not one of those moments. The newscaster looked out of my screen with a calm and reassuring smile.
In Congress today, the Western Coalition government defeated the Gateway Security Act by a large margin.
Next to her pretty face, the gold and violet ring of Shayotte Corporation's logo appears, along with some promotional footage of one of their enormous gates floating in space. Huge ships made tiny by comparison, cluster like gnats around it.
The act would have nationalized Shayotte Corporation's network of gates and twine drive ships. Opponents of the bill say that Shayotte has the right to profit from its own technology and makes a better steward of the interplanetary highways than a public entity. The bill's sponsors say that Shayotte's monopoly on lightspeed travel holds entire economies to ransom and vowed to reintroduce the bill in the next session.
I've seen the stock footage they show countless times. So has the rest of the world. A ship, some sort of cargo liner, I guess, with the familiar twine drive skids attached to its back, flew into the gargantuan floating ring. The image pulled back miles to give perspective, and the ship was now a speck of insignificance against the shadow of space and the gate's golden enormity. The gate flashed with purple light, and the speck vanished, riding an energy wave to the next gate in the series, somewhere thousands of kilometers away, and to the next, and to the next. A string of rings through the heavens ending at Mars, Jupiter, anywhere but here. The TV chimed. A notification popped up along the bottom of the screen. New message, unknown sender. It was a recording, so it wouldn't be from Earth. It must be from... I nearly spilled my water in my haste to grab my tablet and play it back. The newscaster and her cloud of graphics vanished and was replaced by Evan's merry face and ruddy cheeks. I stared at how much he had aged in 3 years. What remained of his shaggy hair was pure white, and the lines around his squinting, happy eyes seemed deeper. Life on Mars is difficult, of course, but even so, I was astonished by his transformation. Evan scratched at one hairy ear, grinning. At least, that hadn't changed much. His easy smile.
Christopher, it's so good to hear from you. It's been much too long, and I'm very sorry about that. I've been very busy with my latest research, and, well, you know how things go.
I wasn't aware he was doing research. There wasn't enough light in the video to tell where he was recording from. Why wasn't he calling me from his home as he had before? It was a little shaky, perhaps recorded from his tablet. He was speaking rather softly, too, as if not wanting to raise his voice. Was he trying to keep quiet? There's something else amiss. His smile doesn't seem to reach all the way to his eyes. He seemed stressed or frazzled. As I watched, that smile vanished from his face.
Listen, about the shooting, it's terrible, terrible. I dug up a couple of news reports on it. I think I've got the gist. You're doing okay, though, aren't you? If I was on Earth, or even Luna, you know I'd call or stop by. I know you got to be shaken by what happened. And I know you were never really happy at the university. the way things have gone lately, anyone with a real passion for knowledge would slowly wither and die at places like that. I could see it happening to you. And I felt it happening to me, and, well, after Padma died, I couldn't hold on for long. I just had to retire.
He said these last sentences as if the admission cost him something, bowing his head slightly to look down at the desk. I found myself echoing the movement, looking away for a moment. Giving a recording a little social privacy is silly, of course, but I miss him.
Well, look, with what's happened to you, maybe this is the perfect time for you to take a vacation. Since you're on sabbatical, why don't you come pound around Mars with me for a few weeks?
As if he anticipated my reaction, his voice turned energetic and encouraging, expecting me to resist. But he doesn't know what has been in my mind for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, why not? You had never left Earth before I moved away, and I'll bet my last guilder you still haven't. I know, gate fare is expensive, but do it anyway. It'll be, fun.
That little pause was odd. He was fidgeting a bit in his seat. I mentally recalled my bank balance. I had enough for gate fare, though it would be a sizable chunk of my savings. But in truth, what else would I spend it on? More antiques and bottled water?
You know, there's even a museum here in Candor Chasma. They have a whole exhibit on the Martian Neo-Victorian period. Clothes, architecture, the whole lot. They even have 4 authentic Victorian corset dresses from Earth for comparison. Not recreations, mind you, the real thing.
I could not help but smirk at Evan's obvious ploy to appeal to my love of Victorian-era history. And while the prospect of seeing the exhibit was interesting, it was not nearly as interesting as everything else I wanted to ask him about.
And there's some surprisingly good restaurants and bars here. No good wine, except the ridiculously expensive imported stuff. But they make some fine single malts. It's remarkable what they've coaxed out of the red soil up here. And, well, maybe if we have a few of those, we can find some more fun with the locals, eh? I've been trying to get under a corset myself lately.
That was not the Evan I knew. We never had discussions about or even joked about sex. He had been devoted to Padma, even after her death. To hear him make such a suggestive comment, tame as it was, seemed unthinkable. Was he lonely? The Martian townships do have a deficit of women. Maybe finding company was harder for him at his age. But even so, my instincts told me this is too out of character for him to take at face value. On the video, he was leaning back in his chair, falling oddly silent and worrying his chin with his fingers before looking up into the camera again.
Look, Christopher, it'd be good to see you again. There are some amazing things out here. Things you, things... That is, I can't even describe them to you. And, well, I'd like to see you again.
He smiled, the merry wrinkles returning around his eyes.
So, you take a flight to Mars, you put down in Candor Chasma, and you take a taxi to 178C Engel Warren, Birched Outer. You don't have to tell me you're coming. Just surprise me, right? Don't think about it. Just come. Please. Bye, my friend.
He reached for the camera, and the screen went dark. But just before it did, I saw the unguarded expression on his face. I couldn't be sure, but he looked sad and a little frightened. What had he gotten into? A few taps of my tablet later, and I was looking over a booking agent's menu and arranging a flight to Mars, with all the attendant shuttle services required for such a journey. I tapped my credit sliver to my tablet to reserve the booking, and that was it. I was going to Mars. But what should I tell Evan? He told me I didn't have to message him, but I needed to let him know at least when I would arrive, didn't I? Still, if he was in trouble, then I didn't want to make that worse. I decided to play along as if it was an innocent chance for friends to catch up. I replied, but sent the message to his home number.
Evan, it was great hearing from you. I'm doing all right. I'm nearly healed, in fact. I thought about it, and yes, I'm coming to Mars. I'll be arriving next Wednesday at 0900 Mars calendar. I'm coming in on a Carillon shuttle, landing at Platform 2.
I smiled then, because despite my suspicions and worries, I mean my next words.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms, and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it, and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server, or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.